Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Presented by Breaks Plus, this question comes in from Gerald, who asks, Mark, what did you make of Josh Kroenke getting booed when they presented Nikola Jokic with the MVP award on Friday night?
Good.
Good.
I mean,
it surprised you, though.
No.
I mean, diehard Nugget fans who I was told over and over again that, well, real fans, real Nugget fans, right, real Avalanche fans, they'll go the extra mile to switch their cable providers and stream and, you know, put up rabbit ears to pick up signals from Kazakhstan just to be able to get the game. So what does that tell you when the real fans right are still there booing them?
Yeah, listen, how many of them are real fans and how many of them are excited to be part of something? How many of them are casual fans? How many of them are the fantasy basketball fans? They're going to the game. You know, ultimately, here's what I don't understand. So I'll just give you some background. Here's what I understand. TV has changed dramatically. In the last 21 years that I've been doing it, it's changed dramatically. But in the last 10 years, Mike, I mean, it's changed exponentially. And the money continues to dry up. I mean, it could, for all of us that are in it, because there are so many streaming services, so many people have cut their cable, so many people have changed the way the viewing habits. The younger generation is, you know, kind of a pay-per-view generation of, you know, Netflix and YouTube and all the things that they do, okay? So it's different than it was when we grew up, right? And all of us that are involved in it have had to change. Why do you think you're still going to get the price you got 15 years ago in a market that's changed that can't produce as much money? Like, hey, figure it out. Like, figure it out. And that's what the fans are saying. They're like, hey, dude, figure it out.
Yeah, good for the fans who booed like that. I thought it was great. Because, yeah, you heard from the very vocal minority who said, hey, it's not that hard. Go switch. Well, you know what? The overwhelming majority of people didn't want to do it.
Sure.
They didn't want to do it, and they shouldn't have to. The notion, this is what it all boils down to for me. And, you know, for everybody who's like, well, you know, if you did this and do that and change providers and you can make it work. It's not that hard. What it fundamentally comes down to is you're telling me it is my job as a fan to make life easier for the billionaire owner rather than the billionaire owner to make life easier for me.
Right.
You tell me what side of the equation is wrong there, okay? And, yeah, I know a lot of people that are involved in this. They're good people, and it's a shame that they've been the ones put out on the front lines to fight this battle. You know, where are the suits in all this? Where are the suits who don't own up to the idea that they let all three contracts with their cable providers all expire at the same time? Who does that? You learn on the first day of Business 101 not to allow something like that to happen. So, hey, whoever is at fault, what I don't care. They cannot go into next year and still not be on TV.
Yeah.
Because what you saw on Friday night with the reaction that Josh Kroenke got on a night that Nikola Jokic was getting the MVP award, and he gets up there thinking, hey, this is going to be a fun time, a celebratory time, and he is genuinely caught off guard with the reaction he got.
Mm-hmm.
And then couple it with last night, could you believe the amount of Phoenix fans that were there last night?
Yeah, there were a ton.
Chris Paul came out and said, man, when we came out for opening warmups, I thought it was a home game.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a bad look.
Terrible.
That's a bad look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about that's been the Rockies for how many years?
Yeah.
How many years has that been the Rockies? Yeah, it certainly is not a good look, Mike. I mean, I was on the Arizona beat for a while doing games, right?
Yes, you were.
I was on the Arizona beat.
Yes, you were.
I did a Chicago at Arizona game. You want to talk about a home game for Chicago. But that's what last night was like. Yeah, that's it. That's embarrassing. You can't, hey man, you know, people are frustrated. I get that people are frustrated. I get that, you know, there's a lot of diehards that probably sold their tickets because they didn't want to go watch the demise of the Nuggets get swept. And everybody, there's not anybody in their right mind that's not super fan last night that didn't know that this series was over. I mean, come on. You watched enough over the last three games to know that the Nuggets just they can't match up. They can't match up athletically. They can't match up in the backcourt. They can't match up with the way they play defense and create transition buckets. And the way they defended the rim, Jay Crowder was just smacking dudes. I mean, it was like a varsity versus JV game.
Yeah, the only question was whether or not they salvage one game for pride, or Phoenix is disinterested,
mm-hmm.
and they steal one. And Phoenix was not disinterested.
No.
they wanted
the rest. I mean,
yeah.
they looked at it like, hey man, I want my rest, and we're going to go out here and handle business. And I love that. I love the way they approached the game. And again, like I've said and like we've talked about, how defense and that transition, you know, it leads to a transition, easy buckets on the other end. But you got to be willing to play it. You got to be willing to commit to it. And, you know, one team was and the other team wasn't.
Texter says LeBron, CP3, et cetera, they've had years to build up their pedigree and brand. Jokic is the new kid on the block, and frankly, no one outside of Denver really knows who he is. There's some element of truth to that. I get that when it comes to the way that the national media views Jokic, mm-hmm. and why they try to make it anybody but Jokic and continued right to the end,
right.
to try to build the MVP case of other players. I get that. That does not excuse the officials' handling of Jokic.
No.
This is a guy who has, if I'm an official, I know who this guy is. I've seen this guy.
Right.
I've seen this guy become a superstar. This isn't some guy who just popped up one year.
Yes.
Okay? I've watched this guy.
Right.
So for him to get that kind of treatment from the officials, this wasn't the media. This was the officials. That one surprised me. That really did surprise me.
Surprised me as well. And I don't know.
Because anybody who says, well, this guy and this guy, they're right. I start listing now. I could probably come up with 25, 30 guys who in the same exact situation get a flagrant one. That's it. Technical foul.
Sure.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, Reggie Miller was shocked that happened. And again, listen, I don't believe it would have changed the outcome of that game.
No,
I don't believe that the Nuggets all of a sudden come back and win that game.
No.
But that said, should he have been ejected? Absolutely not. No, he shouldn't have. And that's just his, I mean, it is the way it is, and I think it's unfortunate, but I don't think it changes the outcome any stretch of the imagination. And then from just an overall maturity standpoint, I understand frustration, but you look at tweets across the board from NBA superstars, Morant, Trae Young. It's just like, we're soft. This is awful. And they are. I mean, the guys in the 80s that would, like, when you and I grew up watching mm-hmm. NBA basketball, guys in the 80s are just rolling their eyes right now at the game that they have to watch. Man, I guess
I'm in the minority. I don't really blame Jokic. I heard a lot of this about, well, he needs to show better maturity and better cool, and you can't get, you know what? At some point, I think we all agree that for a superstar, for an MVP, he doesn't get nearly
mm-hmm.
the same benefits that
sure
other players of his ilk get. He just doesn't.
Right.
So I can see why at that moment you arrive at a point where you've just kind of had it.
Yeah.
And no. By the way, I don't think what he did with the idea that he was going to get tossed.
Right.
I think he did what he did with the idea that, yeah, I'm going to get teed up here.
Right.
And I've just had it, and I got to
I got to unload. I got to vent. I got to show my frustration. So I don't come down on the tiss Joker. You have to be better than that in those moments. Come on. I think at some point you've got to appreciate human nature and understand enough's enough. You reach a kind of a breaking point.
Here's the other thing. It's like, you know, when they sloop a super slow-mo replay in the NFL. I mean, you super slow-mo that and you see, you know, the contact with the forearm to the face. I don't know how you jump to the conclusion on that there's malicious intent. And I think part of that, like, there's part of that to me where...
Oh, he was looking to go out and commit a hard foul.
No question.
Hard foul.
But hard foul and malicious intent are two different things to me. Like that.
Correct.
Like, yes. He wasn't swinging for that dude's nose. His nose just happened to get in the way. You know, I mean, it wasn't. So I always think about, like, if you are reviewing that, you ought to have somebody in there who at least helps you review what malicious intent. Like, I always think when I watch, like, football replays as a former player, I can tell when things happen accidentally, and I can tell when there's malicious intent. You know, and sometimes the bang-bang things happen, and it's just the way football happens to be. You know, that to me was kind of a bang-bang. There's no, I'm going to go over here and clothesline a dude and take his. It's not a Lambeer foul.
Right?
It's not even close to that. So that part is what bothers me, because it just shouldn't have been.
By the way, Cameron Payne.
Yeah.
Was there kind of a soccer player element to his reaction?
Oh, sure.
I mean, yeah, okay. He got swiped across the nose. I'm sure it hurt. I'm sure his eyes were watered.
Right.
I'm sure for a moment there he thought, you know, it was broken. But, man, for him to be on the ground for as long as he was, did he get squirted with some of that magic soccer water?
I don't know if he did or not. But you know, I mean, that's part of it.
To be down on the floor that long? Come on.
It's part of the way the games have become, where you get hit and, you know, you want to act like, oh my gosh, you see in the NFL all the time when a receiver gets touched, he throws his arms up and he starts looking at the official like begging for flags. You should flag that, and then you flag the receiver for being a drama queen. 15 yards, drama queening. That should be a legitimate.
Wow, could you see Ben Dreith doing that one? Wasn't he the giving him the business guy?
Giving the business, was he?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Was that the guy? He's giving him the business. Can you imagine calling that one?
Yeah.
Ed Hockley? 15 yards. No, what do you call it again?
Drama queening.
Drama queening, number 82.
Yeah.
15-yard penalty, still first down. Drama queening.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Just call it embellishing. I don't care.
Yes.
Yeah,
number seven, Roethlisberger, 15 yards, drama queening, wearing a size 22 shoe to show how sore his ankle is.
Somebody said, we got asked this question. Why are you guys talking about Aaron Rodgers if there's nothing new to report? Are you kidding me? Watching this. Apparently Aaron has his own song now.
Right, yeah.
I like this. So here's the background. Mark Murphy, the Packers president, kind of channeling, repeating something that former Packers GM Ted Thompson once said. So he was speaking at an event at Lambeau. Murphy made this comment. Quote, I'm often reminded, though, of Ted Thompson, as most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away this past year. Often talked about Aaron, that he's a comp, and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players. He would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that. Well, first of all, kind of bad form to bring a guy in who's no longer with us, who can't explain what he meant by
referring to Aaron Rodgers as a complicated fella.
No context.
No context, but to use that comment and then to basically endorse it by, I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man. Is there anything new to report on Aaron Rodgers? Is he being traded today? No. But I think as you watch the, what appears to be the deterioration of the relationship between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, the idea that is there any reconciliation coming around the corner? Doesn't appear to be. So it just raises again the, what's the news? Well, I guess the news is there just seems to be a further divisive wedge between these two sides.
Yeah, I feel like the Packers brass, Mark Murphy, you know, Gutekunst, their GM, I just feel like they are, you know, laying out a bunch of marshmallows to have the fans have a soft landing when this eventually happens, right? Because it doesn't feel like to me there's a whole lot of reconciliation. It's like they're biding their time and they're creating almost a smear campaign so that the landing is soft. So the fans can blame Aaron Rodgers for being complicated, for being a drama queen.
All this is that they know they're going to trade him, but let's wait a month or two just so we can continue to build the public case against Aaron.
Well, yeah, but eventually, like, this is what I keep saying about that. The longer you wait, the less value he potentially has. So, I mean, I'm using the Band-Aid treatment. Just rip it off, man. It's easier to just rip it off.
Well, but maybe there's another element to this.
Okay.
Check this out. Dan Graziano, one of the NFL insiders for ESPN, was on Get Up with Greeny this morning.
Right.
And he said what he's hearing is that NFL owners are hoping that Green Bay doesn't trade Rodgers because NFL owners don't want their league to turn into the NBA. The idea being, look at what's happening in the NBA. The players have been given all the power.
Right.
The players are allowed to force their way out.
Mm-hmm.
Players are allowed to go here or there, pick their destinations, choose their teammates, choose their super teams.
Mm.
We don't want that happening in the NFL. The beauty of the NFL is parity, right? The idea is that you may be down, you may be 5-11 one year, but the way that the system is, you got a chance to turn things around and be 10-6 the next year. And this is a league in which, you know, you see the Clevelands of the world and the Tampas of the world. You know, it's not just the same teams over and over again in the big markets.
Yeah.
You've got Super Bowl winners coming out of Denver, out of Indianapolis, out of Tampa. So do you think that there's something to the idea that the NFL is concerned of an NBA-type influence with their quarterbacks to start, but the idea that it could snowball and,
well,
involve other players as well?
Listen, it already has. I mean, this is a trend that's been going on for a while, but it's really become prominent here in the last few years, where if you don't like the way things are going, then just refuse to play. You know, create an excuse, basically say, I won't play, and because of the, like, this is the owner's, to me, it's your own fault because you have, you know, you've invested a ton of money in guys. You've given those, because of those contracts, you give the guys financial security to say, I'm not going to play here anymore.
And you've also rigged every rule change
to
benefit these guys, to protect these guys, to make these guys look great, to put up numbers that they never would have put up.
Right.
Without the rule changes.
So the bottom line is we've seen this from Le'Veon Bell to to Jalen Ramsey to, you know, to who's a safety that went to Seattle?
From the Jets.
Jamal Adams from the Jets. So we've seen a bunch of dudes do this, right? We've seen them do this. I would tell you as an organization, like, you better create a culture within your organization, and you better understand how the culture has changed within the NFL. You better create a place, an environment where guys want to be. Because what you've created, and the way you've created this situation that if you're not good or you're not competitive or you don't have a great culture, guys are going to be like, I want to go somewhere else. And you've empowered them to do that. And the bottom line is, you can't treat guys the way you treated us in the older generation, right? I mean, there are those handful of guys, those 20% of the guys who have that kind of leverage. And that's the league you've created. You've created a league where 20% of the guys make 80% of the money. Guess what? Those 20% of the guys have all the power.
But think about all the major sports leagues. Face it, there isn't a league where you know as many of the owners. And the owners are as visible, recognizable, as prolific as they are in the NFL. You just don't have that in the other sports compared to the NFL. So the NFL truly is a league where the owners hold the power. Much more so than the NBA. The NBA truly is a players' league.
Sure.
All right. So is that to the detriment of the NBA? And can you imagine that these are conversations that are going on in the back rooms of NFL buildings? Are owners talking to owners? Are they talking to Roger Goodell and say, we cannot allow the players to gain this kind of power? We can't go down. The NBA is held up when NFL owners talk as an example of what we cannot be. Do you think these conversations are happening?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're happening. I don't think there's any question. And especially, like you mentioned, at the quarterback position. Because every rule is bent towards having the quarterback have, you know, have exposure, to have all the rules, or to have that guy have success. 100% it is. And are they concerned? Absolutely, they're concerned.
Well, think about it. You're an NFL player. I can only imagine the amount of NBA or MLB envy that exists among NFL players. You guys sign a contract that isn't worth the paper it's printed on.
Right.
You can be cut. It can be restructured on a whim. You sign a contract knowing you will never see the money, the full money total that you signed for. Whereas in those other leagues, you sign a contract, you see every last penny.
Right.
So there's already envy there.
Of course.
Then you see the ability of these players to move around the way they want, to pair up with players that they want. That's got to add to that envy. And then even within your own league, you know, I kept talking about this, and, you know, people were like, well, Tom Brady being able to pick where he wanted to go and basically force his way out of New England. It was mutual. New England was ready to move on from him too. But to be able to pick where he went, have a profound impact on the players that came in, as well as the kind of offense he ran, and end up winning a Super Bowl and tossing Super Bowl trophies from one boat to another in the beautiful Tampa sunshine. You don't think players around the league are like, damn, I want that.
Absolutely.
I love Tom Brady. Why can't I have that? So you put all this confluence of events together. NFL's owners might have a problem here, because you got players more and more. They're like, I want to flex my own independence.
If the owners want to solve that, you know what they do? They go to Green Bay and say, you better fire your general manager and you better patch things up with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I guess you can. You're the NFL, but you know what I'm saying.
So what do you? Okay, so they're like telling the Packers, don't trade Rodgers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What do we do? Just sit on him and not get any value.
What's their advice then?
Yeah.
How do you make that happen?
Right.
Maybe they just don't want him to trade him, but
well, I'm sure they don't want him, but you know, it's not really their choice. Complicated.
Very complicated.
Mark Murphy was right. This is a very complicated situation.
Yes. All right. A lot of reaction pouring in. And the post-mortem for both the Avalanche and Nuggets leads to this question. Which team is actually closer to winning a title? And is the answer not as clear-cut as you may think? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
And the whole process, which, well, the postmortem for both the Avalanche and Nuggets, this was, for all the high expectations, man, it started with the Jamal Murray injury and then the way the Avalanche series ended. But I mean, check this out. Can many cities boast something like this? Okay. Friday, June 4th, the Avalanche lose. Sunday, June 6th, the Avalanche lose. Monday, June 7th, the Nuggets lose. Tuesday, June 8th, the Avs lose. Wednesday, June 9th, the Nuggets lose. Thursday, June 10th, the Avalanche lose. Friday, June 11th, the Nuggets lose. Sunday, June 13th, the Nuggets lose. That's what, 8 losses in 10 days?
Is that 10 days? Is that, no, it's
10 days. Yep.
Oh, cause you count June 4th.
I count the day.
Yeah, cause it's the first day. It's like your football seasons. You gotta count the day you came into the league. That's year one.
Right.
It always screws me up because my wife is always like, no, it's the next year. No. You gotta go football count days.
Right.
We have this discussion.
Uh huh.
So I came in 89. So you have to count 80. You don't go 90, 91, 90, no. 89.
Right.
Year one.
Right.
Yep.
What are we talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about. Oh, man. What are we talking about? Yeah, this is one of those tough songs because, Mike, I really think of it as an 80s pop rock song, but it was released in 79. So it's one of those year.
It's 80s, though. It's 80s.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But it was really, like, those songs that were released in 79, they don't really get to be one of the songs of the decade in 79 or one of the songs of the decades in the 80s. Okay,
time to get you back focused.
Let it go, man.
I'm just telling you what happens.
Time and to get focused here.
I was thinking about it this weekend.
Remember, sports. So, which team, based on what you just saw, do you believe is closer to winning a title?
I think that's a tricky question. I think it's a tricky question in that I think the Avs, because of the roster size and because how many guys have to play on a night to night basis, have more work to do from a philosophical change standpoint for the way they need to construct their team than do the Nuggets. The Nuggets will have two superstars next year. Because Jamal Murray will come back. He'll be healthy.
Oh,
supposedly.
Okay. More on that in a moment. Okay, yeah.
And they'll have the Joker. And, you know, theoretically, Will Barton should be right. And do they have some changes to make? Yes. But let's face it, the NBA, if you have two guys, you know, you have a chance to be on a night-to-night basis, especially in a league where – you know, you're going to have a bunch of dudes take time off and manage their health. And you're going to have, you know, those back-to-back nights where teams don't want to play and teams come to Denver and don't want to. Your record is going to be great. But I think theoretically, you have less work to do to make yourself a contender in the West. That would be my theory.
Okay. The only problem there, though, is that those other teams in the West, in a time where super teams can be formed quickly, you run the possibility of that. I mean, do you really think that the Lakers are going to be down for long? Okay. I mean, Klay Thompson, if he's healthy, I mean, we're counting on the Golden State's counting on the same health that we're counting on for Jamal Murray. By the way, with Murray, ACLs are a tricky thing. I'm just looking at it this way for Jamal Murray, okay? I'm going to give him plenty of time. I have very low expectations for Jamal Murray. My only hope is that he is full speed, 100% go by playoff time next year. Because we've seen enough with these ACLs that they're not all ACL recoveries are the same.
Correct.
And what's the early thought? I mean, he won't be ready until January or February?
Well, when did he tear? He tore his ACL a couple months ago, right?
Yeah. And we're already, so let's say he's not really ready to go until the start of the new year.
Right.
So but that still gives you time, but that's what I'm saying is right. I'm not expecting Jamal Murray to be Jamal Murray until March.
Right, I think that's completely.
I just want him ready to go full speed. And if it means that it hurts their seating a little bit next year during the regular season,
so be it.
Exactly. Yeah. So be it.
Yeah.
You tell me the trade-off is that he'll be 100% ready to go. You manage his minutes, everything like that, so that he's full go by the playoffs. I'll take that. Even if it means the difference between being a 6 seed and a 3 seed. Something like that. 5 seed and a 3 seed. Something like that. I'll take that exchange. Sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's going to take, there's going to be some growing pains along the way. There'll be some setbacks along the way. It's going to take a little time for you to feel comfortable, all those kind of things. But, you know, theoretically speaking, you should be ready to roll going into the playoffs next year. You should, and the other thing about doing that is you should be able to develop a couple other players. Like Michael Porter Jr. should be able to develop his game, right? He should be able to, it's just not like, hey, if I can't knock down my 3-point shots, then I'm done.
Let's just hope that some point during the offseason, he looks in the mirror and goes, I'm tall. I'm like 6'10". I'm like 6'11". Why am I spending so much time beyond the 3-point line?
Because that's what he's good
at. Michael Jr. Porter.
So what he's good at is shooting. He needs, and you know what? And you lean on your strengths. What you need to develop, the other aspects of your game.
You know what I would do?
You have to be better in the post, and you have to be better on the defensive end of the court.
Well, first of all, I would give him nothing but Kevin Durant film to watch during the offseason. Watch how this guy dominates from different areas of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And then I would take what Chris Paul did in this series as a reminder to a lot of people that the mid-range game still works.
Right.
You know, in a league that is just so obsessed with shooting threes, the mid-range game still works, has value. And I would have Michael Porter Jr. watch a lot of just how Chris Paul created space and got into shooting areas where, I mean, if he can use his length and ability to extend on 3-point shots 26 feet away from the basket, don't you think he could probably use those same skills to get 15-footers, 12-footers, 10-footers, pretty much anywhere he wants?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really bullish on him, too.
I think all those things, you know, all those things are true, but you really have to look at yourself, critically and be willing to go to work on the things that you are weak at. And hopefully he has that kind of maturity where he can do that.
So what about the Avs? What's next for them? Well, all right. Tell you what, let's tackle that one. Let's tackle that one. So we think the Nuggets ceiling is still very high. Still count on the idea that getting Jamal Murray back and another year of Michael Porter Jr. to go along with Jokic is enough to still keep you in the championship mix. What about the Avs? Is it as simple as running it back with this group? We'll tackle that next. The Nuggets, as they are basically currently constructed, still can harbor championship aspirations, right? There's enough room there with the return of Murray and the growth of MPJ and, you know, Aaron Gordon having a chance to be fully assimilated, you know, for a full year. You know, you'll see more from him, all that. Okay. What about the Avs? Because the Avs, the thought was, this team is ready. This team is complete.
Correct.
They don't lack for much. They check just about all the boxes. And yet, they went out in the second round. Granted, I know, to a team that, you probably shouldn't be facing in the second round, but hey, sorry, them's the rules.
Right.
Okay.
So you get beat in the
second round instead of the third round.
Yeah.
Where are they at?
You know, what's interesting, Mike, is I think that the Nuggets, as they're currently constructed, you put a couple of pieces together. Like, I'm not talking about starters. I'm talking about pieces together. You know, you move Millsap. He's gone. He's retiring, whatever it is. I think you put some pieces together. You got a chance to because of the way you're constructed, you got a chance to be pretty good. I just think the Avs need to have a little change in philosophy. Are you willing to move off some of your young talent, your young skaters, and move into changing your defensemen, getting bigger, getting more physical, being able to win those battles and being able to play that style, like playoff style? There's certain things that, you know, there's certain things in my experience that just win. And I tell you this all the time. You control line of scrimmage in the NFL, you're going to win come playoff time. Now, it's not always sexy. It's not always fun. You know, it doesn't move the needle when it comes to fantasy football. You know, guys that run the ball and, you know, manage their quarterback and all that stuff, they don't get head coaching jobs, right? They end up getting fired. So I understand that, you know, it's not what moves the needle or what's sexy, but it is what wins come playoff time. And I think what you have to look at if you're the Avs is say, hey, wait a minute. We've done it 3 years in a row, like the way we've done it. And, by the way, when we get into these physical battles in playoff hockey, we get eliminated. And by the way, they got eliminated in four straight games. So, I think there's got to be a bit of a philosophical change in the way they construct their hockey club.
So Avsman texted and he says, get rid of Graves, replace Bednar with someone who knows how to deal with Vegas' style, and hope Grubauer doesn't screw up in the big game next time. They clearly have to change up the makeup of their defense. I told you back in February. I was concerned that as good as offensive minded as their defensemen are, when it comes to playoffs, are they good enough defensively? And boy, did we see how Vegas just attacked those Avalanche defensemen, and Avalanche defensemen turned it over, and you know, they couldn't get the puck out of the zone, and we saw them exposed that way. So is it getting rid of Ryan Graves? Is it trading Sammy Girard and bringing back a different kind of defenseman? Okay. But if we come back to the Bednar style. So you're telling me what? You're going to take this same exact team, bring in Mike Babcock or John Tortorella type, and all of a sudden they're going to become a stingy forechecking team? You know, a muck and grind team? Is you honestly think that this team can be transformed that way? Do you think Jared Bednar goes out every night and goes, guys, listen, don't worry about trying to win battles along the boards. Don't try to win battles in the corners.
Right.
Don't try to press guys in the middle of the ice. Just play freewheeling hockey. It's fun. It's entertaining. Come on. At some point, you have a team that is built a certain way, and if they can't win in the playoffs, thinking that just replacing the coach who's going to come in with a different mindset is going to be enough? What, are you going to turn Nathan MacKinnon into a plugger? A checker?
Yeah.
A grinder? Hey, Nathan, let's go. Nathan, Gabe, Rantanen, let's go dump and chase. Just chip the puck in behind the defenseman and then go to work on the forecheck. Come on. You got to decide. Do you want to continue to try to win with this style, or do you want to change your style? That means changing personnel.
Right. You know, it's very much like the conversation we have, Mike, all the time in the NFL. I know there's a trend. Let's go get the athletic quarterback. Let's go get the guy who can run around and make plays with his feet. And let's go get the RPO guy and the read zone guy. Well, when that guy starts consistently winning championships, I'll change. But until that point, you know what I'll do? I'll just continue to lean on quarterbacks who are protected in the pocket and who can eviscerate defenses from the pocket. Because I know that works. I know that works. And, you know, when the Cam Newtons of the world can stay healthy for 15 seasons and lead you to championships, or the Lamar Jacksons, I know they're exciting. I know they're fun to watch. I also know, come playoff time, it's a tough way to win, especially when you get to the point where you've got teams that are physical, that control the line of scrimmage, that understand how to play that style.
Text of the day comes in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. What's the big deal about 8 losses in 10 days? We do that all the time. Sincerely, the Rockies.
That's just pile of ball, isn't it?
You know, one thing when you're a bad baseball team that plays in a city that has good basketball and good hockey teams, you relish the time this time when the playoffs are going on, because nobody's paying attention to you. But the moment that those teams are done, until football season starts, the focus kind of shifts to you.
You're the only show in town.
And all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh.
This week is still good for them, because isn't there a mandatory minicamp starting up,
There is a mandatory minicamp.
So this is okay.
So between the, you know, the postmortems for the Avs and Nugs and the mandatory minicamp.
Right.
Next week.
Next week.
That's it.
When the bright spotlight is just on you. That's when you start selling peanuts and hot dogs and beers.
Boy, wouldn't it stink if the moment that the spotlight really shines on the Rockies, the first move they make is to trade Trevor Story? Oh, jeez. I laugh because it's better than crying.
Yeah, they're, that's going to be tough.
Well, yeah, we got the All-Star game coming.
Yeah, the All-Star game.
All-Star game's right. Coming.
We got
right?
All-Star. We got All-Star patches game. On our uniforms. It's exciting. Right?
Patches
on your uniforms.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, that'll we'll leave you with this again. As we follow the Aaron Rodgers saga, something to chew on. Dan Graziano of ESPN this morning coming on and saying that he is hearing that NFL owners do not want the Packers to trade Aaron Rodgers because they don't want their league to turn into the NBA. They don't want their stars to start to have power and influence. The NFL has become king because of why. I know you guys, I know you as players hate this, but the reason why the NFL is king is because the players have very little power.
Yeah.
It's true.
Right.
It just is.
Hope springs eternal because of parity. Any given year, somebody can go from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yep. We don't want to mess with that. And you know what? As a football fan, I don't want anything to change.
Right.
I want the status quo to stay.
And there is a certain amount of, integrity that comes with, hey man, if you don't play up to your contract, we'll just get rid of you. You know, there, I think that the general fan likes that aspect of the NFL.
Okay, everybody, have a great day. We're back again tomorrow morning, bright and early, starting at 6. Thank you, Millennial Ben. We've got Sandy getting the day off because he was on late night doing Nuggets.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Post-game. So we got Orlando and Chad Brown. Chad Brown. All right, they're coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.